Somerton Man in extremis was 5 feet 11 inches tall, which is 180 centimetres. He had grey eyes, also called hazel, admittedly a fugitive colour, and blonde to reddish hair, greying at the temples. He was healthy, well-muscled and clean, with manicured fingernails and toenails. He was uncircumcised. His legs were tanned. His toes were unusual, forced into a wedge as though he habitually wore tight, pointed, high-heeled boots, like a stockman or a dancer or a person willing to suffer to be beautiful. His legs were tanned in the manner of someone who worked in shorts, and he had what they called bunched calf muscles, as seen in people who walk a lot, run long distances, dance or bicycle. I examined the calf muscles of many of my friends, in itself a fascinating, if unscientific, exercise. None of them wear high heels, by the way. The definition of high heels in 1949 Adelaide appears to have been about 2 inches, and a riding boot has a 2-inch heel so the boot doesn't slip through the stirrup iron. The bunched calf muscles, which look so good in trunk hose, belong to a middle-distance runner, 3 medieval dancers, 5 bicyclists, several inveterate hikers, a rock climber, a mountaineer, a rider, and 1 ballet dancer who had calf muscles like rocks. Somerton Man may have followed one, if not all, of these occupations, although he was probably not a ballet dancer, only because he was too old, I hasten to add. Of course, if he was a cargo master, he would have had to walk miles every day, around decks and up and down companionways, all day. His age was estimated as about 50. He had only 3 small scars on his body, no tattoos, barcode or other marks. The absence of tattoos is significant because most working men at that time had tattoos. My father had lots. I used to call him the Illustrated Man from a Ray Bradbury story he gave me to read when I was 8. My father's first tattoo, a black cat, was on his inner wrist, placed there when he was underage, with a forged permission from his own father. There were 2 hula girls, one on each thigh, a full rigged ship on his arm, Jeannie, my mother's name, on his other arm, a swallow, the Navy's good luck bird, which signifies land, and more on his chest. I thought they were bold and fascinating. As he grew old, the hair over the illustrations turned grey, making him look ancient and shamanic, blue lines visible through the silver fur. The urge to decorate the body with ink has been with the male ever since poor Bronze Age Otzi, murdered on the way to Italy, his body only revealed when a glacier in the Otzel Alps melted. Any visit to a swimming pool in my youth yielded hours of tattoo watching. There is not a decorative mark on Somerton Man, however, and his ears were not pierced. Almost all sailors had a pierced ear, done when the seaman crossed the equatorial line, usually by the cook with a cork and a baling needle. Even my brother, who builds ships, has 1 pierced ear, as did my father. But officers usually did not have their ears pierced, and Somerset Man's ears were pink and perfect. In my view, he was not a working-class man. His neat hands bear this out. There were 3 small scars inside his left wrist, a curved 1-inch scar inside his left elbow, and a round mark, possibly from a boil, on his upper left forearm. Those scars on his left wrist confirm my belief that he was a seaman. I have seen them before. Someone who wears an oilskin, standing in salt sea spray, gets the sleeve of his non-dominant hand wet, and the sleeve then scrapes across his inside wrist, where the skin is thinner. Salt is a powerful abrasive. It produces scrapes, then sores, and then scars. A cargo master on a ship, giving orders about stowage in heavy weather, might easily have such scars.